Try that again. Good morning. Welcome, visitors. It's great to see you here this morning. You may be wondering why I have a backpack with me. This is not typical of my preaching to bring a backpack up with me. But I heard that we're going on a new journey together today. And so we've got some gifts along that I hope we use to help us along the way. So let's see what's inside. Oh, okay. This will be helpful. We've got some holy water. And it looks like we've got something to feed us when we get weary. Are there some weary people today? What else do we have? Oh, I've got a letter from a friend. Let's see what this says. The letter says, six streams, one another's, when Zion is at our best, unity over our diversity. Well, these are ideas that we've been learning and living into these past several years. And visitors, you bring insights that we want to learn from as well. Now, the letter says at the bottom, remember what you've learned. Well, that's probably important. Let's put that someplace where we'll see it again. What else do we have here in our bag? Oh, does anybody recognize this? Where's the children? Can you see what this is? It's a get out of jail free card from Monopoly. We might need that. Put that there. Oh, maybe one more thing I'll pull out. Looks like it's a container of dust. Wonder what that's about. And God brought each of you here this morning. I'm grateful for good companions that make this journey sweeter. Well, seeing these items reminds me of hiking in the desert with my family in the Utah desert. And I think the temperatures were like 103 or 104 degrees. And we brought about this much water along for the four of us, maybe a little bit more. And that was not quite enough, especially when we got tired and thirsty. And spoiler alert, we're all fine. But as we started the hike, I laughed because there were these people carrying these enormous containers of water. If you're picturing the My Coins Count jug, that's about right. Like it was at least 2 or 3 gallons of water. And I'm laughing at them thinking, why would you want all this weight on you on a hike? Tony, you're an expert hiker. I wanted to have my hands free and a light load on my back. And a few hours later, as my family is shuffling through the sand and the sun is blazing down, I was longing for just one drop of that water that the others were carrying. I could have asked them to share, but that would be awkward, and that's outside the bounds of our social practice. How urgently did my family need the water? Did you get the connection? This example isn't just about us wanting to be prepared when we start a journey. And it's not just a moral lesson about not judging others who have the wisdom to bring along water on a hike in the desert. How can we, the church, make it easy for people to experience the living water that we've been given? Sometimes we get stuck on the journey by what we don't know. For years, I've listened and watched as we've eagerly wanted to engage in local outreach. We've tried big opportunities like trips, and we have a heart for serving outside Zion, but we aren't quite sure how to get there. And it may alarm you to know this, but I don't know exactly how we get there yet either. I know what the goal is, daily outreach that looks like Jesus. Let's call that unconventional outreach, because Jesus always did things in surprising ways. And it's also unconventional outreach because the path there is still hidden. And it's also unconventional because it's daily. We are a flexible congregation, and God has been growing our courage, our grace, our faith, preparing us for this journey. Since God made us to be a diverse body, we have a variety of people who will be sharing and teaching how they, in their daily lives, practice unconventional outreach. So in some ways, the journey feels a bit unknown and therefore a bit risky. How will this go? What if we lose our way? What if we put Sarah in charge of the snacks? Sarah me, not Sarah Halteman. Her son Eli is great at bringing snacks along. I learned this yesterday. What if we misunderstood our destination and we end up someplace completely different? But I believe that God has been preparing us for this new journey. God is saying, I'm with you. I will help you. I already am. You are dear to me. Come walk with me. When I told the worship commission, the elders, and the pastors that I thought God was inviting us to do something new with outreach and missions, each of those groups said the same thing. They said, we love hearing stories of people serving in missions, but what we really want is to learn how to make outreach a part of our daily lives. If we don't feel called to Africa, what are we supposed to do beyond giving generously? I love that. In all our diversity, we're united in this eagerness to share the Jesus that we've been given in our daily lives. And I'm convinced that God will lead us to practice daily outreach in ways that are true to who God wired us to be and the gifts that God has given us. And so let's go to Jesus. Maybe Jesus has some ideas and insights and skills for practicing outreach in our daily lives. Well, that's strange. I was carrying a trap in here. I wonder if anyone else is carrying a trap along and you didn't realize it. I don't think we want this on our journey. I'm going to put this way over here so that we don't bring that along. You know, in our story, there's lots of traps. There's the woman, she's caught in adultery. There's the Pharisees, they're trapped in their self-righteousness, and they're trying to trap Jesus. And as Jesus escapes their trap, he sets them all free. So let's start with the woman. The teachers of the law use the woman to try to trap Jesus. The law of Moses said, any man, notice the man is gone. The law of Moses says any man and woman caught in adultery were to be stoned, killed. If Jesus sides with the woman, he's not honoring the law. He'd be allowing her sin. But if Jesus sides with the Pharisees, the woman is mistreated and killed in their game. So Jesus goes unconventional. He stoops down. The same Jesus who came down from heaven submitting to God's will kneels. He writes in the dust. Remember, O mortal, you are dust. When the Pharisees keep pestering, Jesus stands. Stands up for the woman, going against all the social customs of that day. Jesus says, whoever is without sin can cast the first stone. It's a miracle that the stones don't start flying. It's a miracle they recognize their own sin. How much would it help our relationships if we recognized our own sin? And yet, if we focus only on our sin and humanness, in theory, you can pretend this is all coming out easily and completely. If we focus on our dust and our sin, we feel empty. We forget God. One by one, the accusers go, leaving Jesus, the only one who was without sin, and the woman. Has no one condemned you? Then neither do I condemn you. These unconventional words of forgiveness are for us too. Romans 8 says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. What does that mean? It means we're free. It means that instead of death, we've been given an incredible gift of life even now. Except that we don't open the gift. It's kind of like if we were in Oprah's studio way back in the day, and she said there was a lucky person with a ticket under their seat, and they were going to win a new car. Wouldn't we all look under our seat to see if it was us? It's kind of like the get-out-of-jail-free card in Monopoly. Except this is not any game. This is our lives and the lives of others. We've already been given this gift of freedom and forgiveness, and yet I watch how we don't even unwrap it. How might our lives be different if we truly believe that we are free from condemnation? Condemnation just means disapproval or punishment. How would our lives be different if we knew that Jesus knelt down in the dust for us and stood up for us? We'll take the question in a different direction. How might our lives be different if we truly believe that others are free from condemnation? If God has freed someone from judgment, I want to be in step with God, even if I thought that person was my enemy. As Mennonites, we believe that Jesus came to free the oppressed, even when that includes our enemies, and even when we've been the ones doing the oppressing. Jesus declares there is enough water for all who are thirsty. We have an incredible gift that God is inviting us to share, and yet we don't even fully realize or understand the new life we've been given. How could we? We used to be trapped in not being able to share. But God is coming down to us in the dust and is making something new. Jesus continues being unconventional, saying to the woman, go now and leave your life of sin. Note that even Jesus, who was without sin, doesn't start from this point. The church has gotten a bad rap for starting outreach by being directive and telling people to stop sinning. But when the church has done it, we've often bashed people on the heads and shamed people. And it turns out that's not a very effective strategy for outreach. Surprise! What if instead we, the church, were to stoop down and remember we're made of dust too? What if we, the church, stood up for the oppressed, trusting that more miracles are not just possible, but likely? When Jesus tells the woman to go and quit sinning, he didn't write it in a Hallmark card. Jesus wasn't wishing her well, waving her off, saying, goodbye, have fun, good luck with that not sinning thing. Jesus was empowering her to live in a new way, just as God does for us. Adultery is sin. Sin harms you and everyone in your path. Jesus said, "I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." I'll share a story with you. When Bonnie and Irvin were just beginning their time here a couple of years ago as interim pastors, Irvin commented that Zion was understandably inward focused. And then he said, "A church that focuses inward dies." That shocked me. Is that what we want? Is that what we expect? Do we think it's inevitable, like we're trapped? Because of the pandemic, more and more people are realizing that our hunger for abundant life can only be met in Jesus. People who have stayed away from the church in the past are now curious to learn. They are in the scorching heat and eager for a drop of life-giving water. Augustine said, "Our hearts are restless until we find rest, our rest in God." Whether or not we realize it, we are all eager for Jesus, and Zion has so much to offer. It's a bit like the story of the two salesmen who went to sell shoes in a third world country. And the first one gets off the plane, he looks around, calls back home, says, "Stop the shipment. No one here wears shoes." And the second salesman gets off the plane, looks around, comes back home and says, "Double the shipment. No one here wears shoes." Now in the story, the salesman might be lofty coming in and telling people what they need. Instead, Jesus is clearly our example. So are we willing to start the journey and trust God to guide us through the unknowns? Or would we rather stay inward focused and die? There's a true story about a man who was told he was going to die if he didn't start taking some medications. And the man refused to take the medicine because taking it didn't fit the picture that he had for himself. Why? Because taking the medications made him feel old. He would rather die than feel old. To this man, dying was better than taking the medication that would give life. It was a trap. I believe that God has been turning our focus outward that we all might experience life. What does that look like to you? I've got my ideas and I'm eager to hear yours. The Outreach and Service Commission is already creating a time for us to gather together, to listen to one another about what our outreach might look like. I am eager for this journey with you. Yes, there are unknowns, but I know that God is leading us. God has led us faithfully this far and will continue. There are people longing for the living water that we have. May we grow in courageously walking with Jesus, learning how to practice daily outreach that looks like Jesus. Amen.